77. Veek curled up in a ball on the floor.
Jesus, she wailed. Oh, fuck, that hurts.
Zila dropped to the floor and winced as her leg flared. Are you okay? She said. She tried to pry Veek's hands away from her stomach. Let me see it. Veek howled again. Mandy moaned and pulled herself back into her ball of knees and arms.
What happened?
Yelled Clive as he ran in from the hall.
She got shot, said Debbie.
Her lip was split and one side of her face was turning purple.
Andrew got loose and he hit the gun and...
Nate limped in and ran to her.
How bad is it?
I don't know, said Zila. She won't let me see.
He fell to his knees and leaned forward. Veek grabbed his arm. Something crunched under him. He glanced at the floor between them. A lumpy circle of fabric sat just under his kneecap. He swiped at it and felt the pellets inside shift. It was still warm to the touch. Zila followed his eyes.
What is it?
It's a little... It's a beanbag, said Nate. He really loaded it with beanbags.
I got shot, said Veek.
With a beanbag, said Nate. He hugged her hard and planted a kiss on her head.
You're going to be okay.
Well, it hurts like all hell, she yelled.
He kissed her again and looked at Zila. The machine? She nodded.
I think we can do it.
The chattering and grunting outside the window grew louder. Clive ran back downstairs with his rope. Debbie right behind him.
Help me up, you bastards, growled Veek.
God, you're such a wuss, said Zila.
She hugged the shorter woman and then gathered up her scattered papers. What do we need to do? Asked Nate. He offered an arm to each of them and they stood up together.
Okay, said Zila. If I've got this all right, there's 53 controls that need to move. Almost all of them are the small switches and push buttons except for,
she double-checked her sketches,
this dial, that one, that lever there, and that long one there,
she gestured at each control as she named it. Nate looked at the diagram and nodded. He set his hand on the last lever she'd pointed at. So this goes up, right?
Right.
Wait,
said Veek. She kept one arm wrapped around her gut.
What if sequence matters? What if we crash the system or something because it boots in the wrong order?
Zila's shoulders slumped. She'd been ready to flip every switch and press every button.
Oh, shit,
she said. She looked at the wall of controls. Nate shook his head. Then we're all dead, he said. It's this or nothing. They looked at each other for a moment. Veek took a breath, crossed her fingers, and smiled at Nate.
Jinkies.
Zila snorted a laugh. Nate grinned and kissed Veek hard on the mouth. He set his hand on the lever. It was a brass bar with a knob the size of a golf ball at the end. It fit well in his hand. The lever slid up and settled against a contact. A faint clunk shivered up through the bar and it tingled with static electricity. Roger still had his foot against the door. So far, the security door outside had held against the monsters. He knew if they made it through, having his foot there wasn't going to make too much difference, but focusing on his foot kept him from putting the pistol to the window and emptying into the crowd of monsters. He could smell his piss-soaked jeans and his own blood. Roger glanced toward the back door. Clive tethered the knob to the steel post of the banister. Debbie stood with him. From the front door, Roger saw the bruise puffing up one side of her face. He could see shadows moving, but the noise at his door drowned out whatever sounds the creatures made out back. One of the overseers on the front stoop glared in at him between strikes to the door. The black mesh between them blurred its appearance, but he could see enough to know he didn't want a better look. As it was, there was no mistaking the rage in the thing's eyes. It wanted him dead. It wanted him and his friends dead in the most brutal way possible. The creature gnashed its jaws, stepped back, and stabbed at the security door again with its spear. The overseers on either side added theirs, and the weapons banged against the barrier. One of the spears jammed deep into the security door. The mesh broke around it and made a rent an inch and a half long. The overseer at the other end of the spear twisted and levered its weapon, and the rent tripled in size. Without a pause or a word, at least not a word he could understand, the growling horde switched from battering the door to prying at it. Spears jammed into the mesh and the creatures heaved side to side or up and down or twisted their spears in wide circles. There was a sound like popcorn cooking, and Roger saw a handful of rivets shoot away into the mob. The mesh peeled away from the security door's frame.
Guys, he bellowed. They're getting in!
Zila held up the drawings one at a time while Nate and Veek reset controls. He checked the diagram again, counted along a row, and pushed up another switch. Zila marked it off with a scribble while he moved to the next one. Veek had her hand on a knob. She peered at the sketch.
What does that say? Set it to 218? 216, said Zila. That's a 6.
Roger's shout echoed up to them. Nate glanced at the open door of the apartment and then at the window. How much more is there to go?
One more, said Zila. There's only a couple things on the last page.
Almost there, Nate shouted at the doorway. He flipped another switch and looked for the next one. Veek hit 2 side-by-side push buttons. Nate ran his hand down a line of switches and set his fingertip against one. He double-checked the picture and pushed the switch up with a solid click. I think that's it for this sheet. They compared the diagram to the control panel and all nodded in agreement. Zila let the sketch drop and held up the last one. 7 controls to adjust on the 7th page.
What if they come with us? She asked. What if we're bringing 100 of these things back to Los Angeles with us? They won't have a chance, said Veek.
She shuffled over to the next section of the control panels.
They'll either get movie deals or beg for us to bring them back.
Remember the cockroaches? Said Nate. He counted through a grid of buttons. Debbie tried to take them away from the building and they died. If they come with us, I bet it'll be the same thing. Too much of our world kills them. They're not as strong as the squales. They have to stay near whatever little rifts are around the building. Breaking glass and a pair of gunshots echoed up from downstairs. When the noise faded, they heard another sound. It was a rural sound, but they all recognized it. Wood was being chopped. Or hacked.
Awesome, said Zila. So they'll be trapped in the building with us.
A switch snapped into place. A button clicked. Another switch. A dial ticked off degrees as Veek turned it a third of the way around. There was one lever left. It had a grip of crumbling rubber like an old bicycle handle. Nate set his hand on it and felt how stiff it was. He wrapped both hands around the black rubber.
We got everything, right?
Veek took another look at the diagram.
Think so.
Okay then, he said. Here we go. He pushed the lever up and felt it click into position. Something shuddered inside the walls. They heard a faint hum of power, a few short sparks, and an arc of electricity danced across the machinery. And then faded. The needles didn't move.
Shit, said Zila.
Veek grabbed the sketches from the floor.
What did we miss? We must have missed something. We didn't. I checked it all off as we went.
Nate looked around the apartment. It was still a shambles from the great squales passing. Debbie had tried to straighten out some of it, but it was still a mess. The loft and its staircase were wrecked. 2 of the kitchen chairs were smashed into kindling. The table...
Oh, no, he said.
Veek followed his gaze.
What?
Nate ran to the far wall across from the window, his hip throbbing with each step. The kitchen table still leaned up on its side. He grabbed the top edge and pulled. The table leaned forward and dropped back down onto its legs. The bank of glass tubes was behind it, 10 high, 6 across. Nate's eyes skimmed over the rows. Most of them sparked and glowed with electrical current. 5 of them were broken.